T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here to analyze the upcoming Eagles game is the best there is. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, the legendary Ray Dittiger. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Ange. Jeez, I'm sorry to keep those guys waiting.
No, that's fine, Ray. Don't worry about it. They're on the beach. They have the wine. We'll get back to it. All right, Ray, let me stop. I got a piece of old business first.
Okay.
Because Sidney Jones had a career day on Sunday. He had nine tackles, a forced fumble, an interception, and his numbers right now are better than any defensive back on the Philadelphia Eagles. Could you explain to me why he required leaving here to show his true potential?
Yeah, well, that's the player that he was in college. You know, I mean, it's when you saw him play in college. I mean, there was a reason why he was the number one rated cornerback coming out of school before he injured himself in his pro day. If you saw him play at University of Washington, he was a blue chip player. And then he came here and he showed none of that. You know, they gave him opportunities, but he never showed any of it. And I think it was, you know, Andrew, we've seen it before. You know, a guy has a really bad injury. And listen, for a cornerback, an Achilles tear is about as bad an injury as you're going to get. Okay, so it took him some time to get over that. They put him on the field. He got off to a really bad start, had a couple bad games. I think he lost his confidence. And you know, if he had stayed here, he might have never figured it out. But sometimes a guy needs a change of scenery.
Well, hold on. I hate to dispute this, but maybe he couldn't figure it out because he have good coaching.
Could be.
I mean, Ray, this happens fairly often. Aguilar's having a better year than he had here, too. Don't you have to start looking at your coaching staff and wondering if they're getting the most out of their players?
No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. Because, I mean, you could say the same thing with Aguilar. That's true.
Yeah.
Even Rasul Douglas, to some degree, are all playing better in different uniforms than they are right now. So, look, with where the Eagles are right now and the way this thing has been trending now for a couple years, you do have to look pretty deep. And you have to look internally with a lot of stuff. You have to look at the personnel department. You also have to look at the coaching. You have to really take a strong evaluation of what's happening on the practice field from day to day to see if you're getting the maximum out of the people that you've got. I mean, it's a legitimate question to ask. But the fact that Sidney Jones has suddenly sort of found it, it's not a big surprise to me. I mean, maybe he's finally healthy, and maybe he's somewhere else where he's no longer a second-round draft pick and there's not a lot of pressure on him, and he's finally just cutting it loose and letting them play.
All right, Ray, you just mentioned practice. That's been a big issue this week, too, because there is a dispute now about how sloppy Wentz has been and then the rest of the team during their practices. I got the coach saying, not at all. I got Wentz saying, nah, a little bit, but no, nothing unusual. I've always been this way. And then I got Brandon Graham saying yesterday, no, I'm seeing a lot of the stuff in practice. We're seeing during the games. It has been sloppy, and we got to fix it. Who am I supposed to believe?
You know, this is the problem with the closed practices. You know, I wish, as the media corps, if we could watch practice, we'd have a better idea. You know, right now you're just going on other people's opinion. But I think if you watch this team play, there's reason to believe that there's stuff that should be getting cleaned up that isn't getting cleaned up. Just as simple as so many dumb penalties, like last week, 11 penalties. I mean, they do so much dumb stuff now in games that you have to assume that some of it traces back to the practice habits. I mean, I don't know how bad it is, but I suspect that there's more truth to it than the coaches letting on.
Well, that leads me to my next question. I made this statement all week. I think the biggest problem the Philadelphia Eagles have this year is coaching. I'm saying there's all these questions cropping up about Wentz and how they can get him to play up to his potential. I'm seeing all – you're watching the defensive backs. They don't turn around on a football, right? Ray, I'm starting to blame coaching first. I'm not even saying Doug. It could be position guys. It could be the coordinators. Don't you see coaching as maybe the major hurdle on this team this season?
Well, I would. I don't know the major problem, but I certainly think it contributes. There's stuff that you see when you go back and you look at the game that, yeah, I mean, you see them do things. You just say, no, that you got to know better than that. Now, in certain areas, there's just clear talent deficiency. Okay, I mean, you look at the play of the linebackers, and you know the linebackers are so bad. I mean, I can't tell. If they had good coaches, I don't know that'd be any better. They're just not good enough. But then you see other areas where you see guys that have ability and they're just not maxing out on it. Then I would say, yeah, I think there's probably a coaching issue here. Yeah, I would. And I think that the configuration of the offensive coaching staff, I think, is a problem. I think when they brought in all of these new offensive coaches this year, I just think their offensive meeting room just seems to be a jumble to me. And the game plan that they come in with, and the way they coach during the games, the play calling, some of the decisions in terms of down and distance, what we're going to do in this, and the philosophy, we're going to run the ball, no, we're going to get away from the run, okay, let's come back to the run, we're going to throw it deep, no, we're not going to throw it deep, we're going to throw it short. It just seems to be a jumble. There doesn't seem to be any coherence to what they're doing on offense. And on defense, I think it's more a matter of execution.
Well, let me hop on defense a bit more. You watch that tape very carefully. Was that defense, the Eagles defense on Sunday, ready to play football?
No. It really wasn't. Yeah. I mean, that's such a cavalier way of dismissing it. I mean, I don't want to sound flippant when I say that. But to me, it's easy to say they weren't ready to play. I mean, that's something that's a knee-jerk kind of reaction that fans will say. They didn't come out ready to play. Well, sometimes you did, and sometimes the other team was just better than you. That happens. But this particular game. I just thought, especially on those first two series, they just looked like they were asleep. And there was stuff that the Giants ran at them that they had run at them just 2 weeks earlier, and the Eagles appeared ill-prepared for. So, yeah, I mean, I think this was one case where you could say, yeah, this team came out not ready to play.
All right, so let's get to Cleveland, all right, because everybody understands what Cleveland is about, running the football. Imagine that, Ray, running the football.
They're good at it.
They're really good at it. Are the Eagles good enough defensively against the run to keep them from murdering them Sunday in Ohio?
You know, I think they can. The Browns, you're right. I mean, you put your finger right on it. That's the game in a nutshell, is that. Because the Browns aren't going to do anything different. I mean, this is what they are. This is what they've been built to be, and this is how they're going to play. And especially now that they've lost Odell Beckham Jr., they don't really have a big-time passing game. So, I mean, they're just going to pound it, and they're going to pound it, and they're going to pound it. And if you don't stop them, they'll just pound it for four quarters. They have no problem doing that. So, as a defense, that's what you got to do. I mean, you just got to stop the running game. You got to shut it down. And, you know, if you look at the Eagles' stats this year, look, I know where they rank overall defensively against the run. They're 26th in the league, which is pretty ugly. But if you look at how those runs were distributed and how those yards were distributed, the plays that really hurt them were the misdirection plays, the fakes, the bootlegs, the RPOs, the jet sweeps, all that kind of stuff. You know, tight end runs, wide receiver runs, quarterback runs. I mean, those are the plays that gashed them. Running backs have not had much success against the Eagles this year. I think they're averaging just 3.3 yards per carry when it's just a straight-up handoff to a running back. The Eagles play that really well. It's probably the best thing they do on defense. And so that's going to be the matchup. I mean, the Browns aren't going to change anything. They're going to come out and they're going to be what they are. And they're going to come out and they're going to run that counter play. They're going to run that gap run. They're going to zone block, and they're going to hand the ball to Chubb and to Hunt, and that's it, and that's what they're going to do. And if the Eagles can stop that, and they've been fairly successful stopping power running games this year, then they have a chance to win the game because the Browns aren't going to change what they are. I mean, that's what they are, and the Eagles just have to stop it.
Ray, let me move to the other side of the ball with a completely ridiculous concept. What about if the Eagles ran the ball? Might that be effective? Since they have been effective running the ball, although Doug often chooses not to bother with it. What do you think of that?
Look, who are you talking to here? I mean, I'm...
No, I know, but I got Miles Sanders, right? And I'm not using him enough.
No, listen, here's the thing, Ange. If you go back and you look at the film of the Giants game, just this last game you played, this team executed very well in the running game. Yep. I mean, the passing game was all over the place. The passing game wasn't very good. But running the ball, the blocking was really good. I mean, the execution in the running game was far better than the execution in the passing game. You can't run a play any better than the Scott run. I mean, everything about that play was perfect. I mean, Goddard gets a great block. Opetta actually gets a really good block. Peters gets a great block. Kelsey gets out and chops down the defensive back. You know, Scott gets to the sideline and runs it in for the touchdown. You can't run that play any better than they ran that. And Sanders had a couple of runs, inside runs, that were blocked really well. I mean, if you just took the game film and you just broke it down and you just pulled out the running plays and you showed them to somebody and said, what do you think of this offense? Somebody would say, that's damn good. That's really good execution. Then you'd put the passing game on, you'd say, whoa, wait, that's another story. But, I mean, in terms of their execution as an offensive team right now, they are much better running the ball than they are throwing the ball.
But they don't bother to do it enough. All right, Ray.
I know, and part of it, I think, is the time they invest during the week. And I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened last week. Mm-hmm. I think Doug looked at the stats and said, "Geez, the Giants are 25th in the league against the pass. Well, we're just going to throw the ball." You know, and his whole game plan all week is, I'm looking at the stats. The stats tell me that the Giants don't defend the pass very well. Okay, we're going to throw the ball. And we're not going to run the ball. You got to react to what's happening within the game. If you're reacting to what's happening within the game, you would run the ball more. I think their preparation pointed them towards the pass, and that's what worries me a little bit about this game. Is if you look at the Browns right now, defensively, I don't think they're anything special. In fact, I don't even think they're particularly that good. But if you look at them, you break it down. They're 21st in the league against the pass, but they're 8th against the run. And I just know the way the Eagles prepare for games. They're looking at that and they're saying, this team, you can't run the ball, and then we got to throw it. And I think running the ball is the way to go.
100%. Ray Dettinger, Eagles +3 at Cleveland Sunday, 1 o'clock. What do you got?
I think the Eagles are going to win.
I do, too.
I really do. And I'll tell you why. It just feels to me... part of it is the Browns are really a different team now without Beckham. I mean, they really don't have any big play threat. Jarvis Landry's a good player, but he's sort of a possession guy. They're not going to hit you with big plays. They're just not. They're just not built to do that. This game reminds me so much, going back last year, that the Eagles had, if you remember, they were coming off two really awful losses. They played at Minnesota, they got killed. They went to Dallas, they got killed. Then the next week they were going to Buffalo. And everybody, including me, just gave up on them and said, Buffalo's coming on. They're playing better. The Eagles have got nothing working. They're going to go to Buffalo, and Buffalo's going to beat them. Well, the Eagles went up to Buffalo, and they beat the Bills. They beat the Bills' pants off. They beat them like 31-13.
Yep.
This game has the same kind of feel to me. You know, everybody's written them off. You know, the coach was all mad. I heard him with you on Monday.
No reason to laugh.
Everybody's down on them. Everybody's mad at them. Most people are counting them out. They're laughing at the division. To me, this is a perfect spot for them to go on the road. And the other thing is, look, the Browns have made progress, and I give Kevin Stefanski credit. He's done a good job with that team. But you look at the teams they've beaten this year. I mean, they've beaten a bunch of chump teams. They really have. You know, and their games against good teams, they haven't done very well. And the one stat that jumped out at me was the Browns right now are the only team in the NFL with a winning record but a minus point differential. They have given up more points than they've scored this year, which tells me that their record is a little bit misleading. In terms of point differential, there's only 1 point difference between the Eagles and the Browns. So, you know, I think that the Eagles have the wherewithal to slow down that Cleveland running game. And if they do that, I think they can win.
What kind of numbers are we looking at? Final score, Ray Dettinger?
I'm going to say 24-20, Eagles.
I don't even think it'll be that close. Ray Dettinger, by the way, with Glenn Mack now on Saturday at noon Adam Taliaferro. That'll be a great story to listen to. And, Ray, I wanted to mention, Ray, you're brought to us by Meridian Bank, an innovative community bank building its reputation by financing businesses and entrepreneurs. Learn how Meridian can help your business at meridianbanker.com. Ray, you're the best, my friend. Thank you, pal.
All right, and tell Butch I'm sorry I took up so much of his time.
No problem. It was very important information we were receiving, and Butch will be out when we come back, as I think the recorded singing debut of Mr. Billy King. That is coming up shortly as well. I have lines open. I got Butch, Matt, Mike, and Andy the Troll. Ooh. You will be able to get on right now. I am looking for the best shooters of all time because the Sixers picked up a few last night. Billy, could you give us who we have right now, the shooters that have been claimed? This is for Brandon Graham jersey, Wawa gift card, Pizzadelphia stuff, Al, and the Eagles documentary maybe next year. What is that? What do we got?
Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Kobe Bryant, World Be Free, Andrew Toney, Danny Green, and Jerry West.
215-592-9494. Claim your prize right now. WIP Sports Hub 868.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.